I dig those. Hello! It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, about James Brown height. James Brown's height. It's 6 feet under. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to steel yourselves. I want you to prepare yourselves. I want you to focus. Be with me now. For Ed McCarthy. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, that is, from the South. Hello, sir.
Living in America.
Wait, oh, I wasn't prepared with the... I love that guy. It's too bad he's dead. But, you know, he'll live on forever. What's up with you, Ed McCarthy? He says you're on your way to Tulsa.
Tulsa. We're going to have a bad, bad ice storm. It's going to be a brutal one. I guess they're going to get like an inch of ice or whatever. So I'm flying out in the morning heading to Tulsa.
Really, where's there to go in Oklahoma? I mean, what are people leaving the house for?
No. I've been in Oklahoma City. Remember I was out there when they had those wildfires, those grass fires. Remember those from last year?
Seems to me like a good long, I don't know, like a 2-3 year long fire would be the best thing for most of the Midwest. Just, you know, just clean it, start over. Start over, smarter, better, faster.
We found the street where the hotel is.
Yeah.
We got how far that is from the airport. Did they got that? And now I'm going to slide all the way down there to that place. Oh, boy.
Am I interrupting your GPS programming?
Me, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Are you in Tulsa? Where are you now?
No, I'm right now I'm home packing.
All right.
Packing for the trip.
And so you're in Tulsa. What, I mean, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, but I am fascinated by the coverage of weather by respectable news organizations. Are they based? I mean, you're not even on television. Are they, have you there just so you can point at the ice and go like, there's some ice beneath me here?
But I brought a scraper with me. I'm going to bring a scraper with me, so I'll be all right.
Fantastic. Well,
that makes sense.
Well, travel safe, my friend. And have a gripping time in Tulsa pointing at some ice. We had a light dusting of snow here. And the thing is, people in Portland are just such sissies about this. We had an inch of ice, we had like an inch of snow, not even the icy kind, just a powdery, dry snow. And schools are closed. I mean, people are storing canned goods. I mean, they're predicting the imminent demise of the earth. I mean, people here are just such wusses about the whole thing.
Listen, I have to tell you this because we have the location, apparently, for this hotel. Apparently, it's right, as you look out at the window of the hotel, you'll see Pat Robertson's headquarters.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, as I said to one of our folks at work, I said, well, if you go down there during the storm, they'll probably be able to predict how many accidents there will be.
Well, you know, Pat Robertson did predict, as we headed into 2007, he did make this prediction that there's going to be a lot of death and killing this year in America and many, many severe storms. So he's stepping out on a limb there. There's going to be some storms, apparently. So Pat Robertson on it once again. Let me ask you about this iPhone from Apple. Now, we talked a little bit about this the other day because I got a whole fixation and fetish about Steve Jobs. But the deal is that, what is it? Is it Cisco that is suing them now about the iPhone, trying to block it or trying to get some cash? Are they trying to block it from coming out or trying to get some cash?
Threatening the suit here. They're filing suit because they feel as though they had the copyright on this. It's kind of a nifty little item that Apple came out with. They had Steve Jobs came out with this, and it's just he didn't make any he didn't hide anything. He called it the iPhone. So they said that they had an agreement that they were going to use that as their trademark, and he says that was the agreement, and so Cisco is going after him.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. I'm secretly glad about this because, first of all, it doesn't seem like you ought to be able to patent. At this point, isn't there an I everything and an E everything? And it just seems like that sort of entered the lexicon.
That's a good point, you know, and you wonder how far this thing would go, you know?
Yeah, I mean, everything is with the economy and the e-commerce and the iPod and the iPhone and the, you know, there's an I saw some ridiculous thing at Fry's. It was literally like the iFrigerator or some crap, and it was a refrigerator that hooked up to the internet for some godforsaken reason. And so,
how would that work?
I swear to God, it was something that would go online and, like, alert your local grocer when you were out of turnips or something. I don't know. But I'm for anything that delays the iPhone coming out because I don't want to have to buy it. That's the thing. I don't even want it as an option because I know me and I know my willpower and lack thereof, and I have a low melting point, and I'll end up having to buy the thing. So I would just assume that it never come on the market because then I'll never have to spend money on it, which I most assuredly will if it ever comes out.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, you're looking at Cisco saying that they've held this trademark since 2000.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, Apple, God love him, but Steve Jobs is not above stealing things. I mean, clearly everybody, the students of computer history know that the graphical user interface, point-and-click technology, the mouse, the laser printer, Ethernet, all of these things were invented by Xerox and then stolen by Apple. The MP3 player was kind of created by Creative Labs and then stolen by Apple. I mean, they steal well. Don't get me wrong.
It's kind of like the jokes that I have. I steal from the best.
I was just going to say, not unlike this program and the band Oasis, they know where to, you know, they steal from the best. But it's not like, I mean, what Apple does is this, and I don't say this as any of this a knock. Apple is very, very good at what they do, and I really do. Steve Jobs is a hero of mine. But Apple steals things and then improves on them. That's the deal. They find something that somebody else has invented and isn't really using all that well. They steal it and they make it better and then they sell it. And that's fine. They've developed a niche, and the niche is, it's like a guy who breaks into your house, steals your furniture, refurbishes it, and then sells it for 10 times, you know, what you paid. That's kind of what Apple does.
You know, they were saying that, Cisco's saying this, they say they had talks going on this thing, you know, to get, you know, kind of an agreement. And they said it broke down just hours before Jobs got on stage. But he did this thing at that Macworld conference at Expo, introducing that multimedia device. So, you know, that's one of those things. They say, well, you know, we didn't hear anything. But there he is. He's talking about it now. Yeah. You can just imagine what that was like.
He just doesn't care. Steve Jobs, he does march to his own internal drummer. Well, have a safe trip to Tulsa, my friend, and if we don't speak to you soon, enjoy your weekend and try to stay warm out there.
Yeah, we may talk to you tomorrow, and I'll be scraping ice or something, and I'll give you a little sound of what it's like.
All right, brother, enjoy your trip. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Rick, thanks.
CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy will just do fantastic. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up bottom of the hour, Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. I got all of this stuff that I hadn't even planned. I got all the stuff I teased, and then all of the stuff that I didn't tease that we got to talk to, and all of these people calling, and just the Scotty and the Suburban Perspective and the top five and the hey hey and the. I just became Woody Allen for just the tiniest little moment there.
A little kooky.
I just heard
from Lisa. She's getting sick and she's coming with me to LA tomorrow.
Lisa, your friend Lisa?
My hot friend Lisa.
Yeah. I mean, love good.
We've got to play that whole thing at some point.
I don't know where to. I'll have to find it again. Because that's the other thing. We got to talk about that tomorrow. I'm turning into Ricky Roman now from Glinger and Glimmer. What am I going to do all month? So tomorrow, we can't talk about this today because we have no time. But you're going to L.A. So
yeah, Brad just got me a car.
We can talk about that tomorrow. You're going to L.A., you and your hot friend Lisa and Storm, and then quite possibly some other people from Rockstar Supernova, and it's all very exciting. And there's that, and what did I want to, I had some observation about that, that's something I was going to ask you about that. Oh, and then tomorrow we're having, this name won't mean anything to you probably, but Portland icon of years past, Tony Starlight. And that's a name that'll mean, if you were around in Portland, you know, I don't know, like the 90s, you'll know Tony Starlight. I don't even really know, I mean, I know him and I've met him and I've hung out because he's a good friend
of
Joni's.
What did he do?
He was a, I hate to say this, and I can hear Joni's teeth curling with anger as I say this, but he was kind of a Richard Cheese type guy. I know that he probably hates hearing that. I want to, but I'm just for people who are the uninitiated. But he did. He had a lounge. He was a kind of a lounge persona, and he did. He performed around a lot in the 90s. So he's sort of a precursor to that whole thing. But he was really big, really popular in the 90s in Portland. I only met him after he quit doing that and moved. And I only kind of know him. I've met him in real life a few times. But he's going to be coming back, and I think he's going to be big. He's got some new venture he's doing. But the point is, he's a good friend of Scott Daly's, too. And I've talked to enough people over the years that were like, hey, did you live here when Tony Starlight used to perform? So I know he was kind of a big deal in Portland. So for a little bit tomorrow, I know a small piece of...
is he coming into the studio?
Yeah, for the last 10 minutes or so of tomorrow's Scott Daly segment, I think Tony Starlight's going to be in here. So those of you back in the day, you know Tony Starlight, he'll be with us tomorrow. And we'll talk about you going to L.A. We got to get to these calls. We're just going to go through these one by one by one by one. Curtis, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Curtis, what's up, brother?
Hey, about the phone system glitch there, that little beep you heard?
Yes, sir.
I used to be a phone programmer guy. There's something that most people don't know about modern phone systems, and it's there's an administrative mode that we refer to as God mode.
Okay.
It allows you to tap into any extension on the system and listen.
Now, that's how I live my whole life is in God mode, sir. I try to do that. Are you saying that someone elsewhere, why would they need to tap in since we're broadcasting on a radio station?
Well, if they want to hear what you're saying off air.
How would they do that?
Or what somebody in St. Sarah's having a private conversation with her friend Lisa. They could be listening to that.
I don't understand, but this is on phones that we're not picking up.
Yeah, you don't have to pick it up. You can, all those phones have a speaker, or the handset speaker itself will work. If it doesn't have an external hands-free system, you can tap into any extension and listen to what's going on in the room, being said on the phone.
So you're saying someone is bugging our studio?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good thought. Thanks, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you for instilling even more fear and paranoia into us here today.
Yes, enjoy your government.
I'm sorry?
I said, yes, enjoy your government.
All right, thank you. All right, that's Curtis. Let's see. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Howdy, Rick. Great
Hi.
Show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, first of all, two things. First of all, you know, for all that missing show prep that you lost, couldn't find?
Oh, you mean the show prep that got thrown away over the holidays?
No, got snagged by an FM crew.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. What? I don't understand.
Think about it. Would it have been thrown away or snagged by an FM crew?
What are we talking...
All the stories that disappeared.
Okay, here's the deal. So we had this huge pile of show prep,
right.
And then we came back after the holidays, and it was gone. You believe it was lifted by one of the FM radio stations?
Yes, that's my Clyde theory number one.
No, they're not that clever. They just listen, and then they do our material badly later in the day.
I thought it sounded good. Anyway, as far as Tasmania goes...
Yeah.
It's like 150 clicks south of Melbourne.
Why can't people just say miles? The last guy's kilometers and your clicks. Say miles. You live in America.
About 55, 75 miles.
Well, then what the F is a click?
Well, you live overseas, buddy. You live by their rules.
Okay. Listen to me now. I swear to God, I will come over there and I will beat you senseless. What is a click?
A kilometer.
I always thought a click was a mile. You're telling me now a click is a kilometer?
One click is 1 kilometer, yes.
All right, so it's 55 clicks, and that's about 100 and something miles?
Sure, great.
Oh, don't be all bitter. I'm just asking, because that's like if you were to come and go, Rick, Tasmania is about 50 fathoms from, I have no idea. A click is what they use in all the Vietnam movies, too, and it always puzzles me. And aliens, I think in Aliens they refer to something as clicks, and I never knew what it was.
Yeah, well, in any case, I was drugged by my ex from Melbourne down to Tasmania. She somehow got us a ride on the ferry. And, yeah, I woke up in a Crown Star, I think it was a Crown Star motel, hung over out of my mind, and I had these, we were right next to the wildlife refuge, and I woke up to these Tasmanian devils giving their sound.
Oh, yeah. Really? Now, it's creepy, though. The Tasmanian devils make a weird sound.
Especially because I didn't know where I was. I was drunk.
Yeah.
And she throws my ass on a ferry. Wham, here I am. What's this? It was fun.
All right. Thank you. We're done. That's David on the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Just playing these random cards. Johnsonville. Why would Smokey have a cart called Johnsonville?
Sausage?
This doesn't sound like something called Johnsonville. When you hear like a Johnsonville, don't you get a picture like a...
Honk, honk. I thought Johnsonville was a brand of something.
Wait, hold on. There could be a commercial over this. This could be like one of those, God, it would be for some... It'd be for some, like... Like an environmental ad, or like some sort of like an HMO or something, or like a whole, let's see, or like a, out here in the country where the day goes a little slower, the sun is a little brighter, and the laughter of children is a little sweeter. That's how we make our lemonade, and that's how we live our lives. Johnsonville Lemonade. The best in a simpler time. And it would totally be that music. That'd be what's playing in the... I'm not even going to recue that one. I'm never playing that again.
Just play one more.
Okay, we'll do that when we talk to Ray. Ray, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
People of Earth, you must surrender.
Wait, hold on. I know what you're doing. Hold on. Oh, they're going to fall. Hold on.
Oh.
Wait, no.
Be careful.
All right, hold on. All right, he dropped that.
You must surrender. Resistance is useless. I think it was Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
Oh, see, now the song's working properly.
Perfect.
Now it doesn't work. People of Earth,
okay,
you must surrender.
Because of the Packy song up at the zoo. And at OMSI used to have a thing called the Foucault Pendulum.
Yeah, I know. Don't they have it still?
They do, but the old one used to have a cart machine that would play, this is the Foucault Pendulum. As you all know, the Earth rotates on its axis.
You do that really well, by the way, the sound of a defective cart. A Foucault Pendulum, by the way, is a thing that shows the rotation of the Earth. No one cares. Anyway, yeah.
Well, and the zoo also used to have cart machines all around the zoo that would play when you put in your little zoo key when you were a kid.
Uh-huh.
And there is a wonderful zoo key song that went along with it.
Fantastic. This is now, see, but the irony is now that you're making the sound, I can't get the cart to play incorrectly. Hold on.
That's how it always works when engineers are around.
Yeah, this isn't threatening in the slightest.
No.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Can you boost this Benjamin? Hold on. Wait, hold on, sir.
Sure.
People of Earth, you're all going to die. The rape ships are on their way. That's a really, boy, I could do a whole day of that, of horrifying things read over the baby elephant walk bed.
Remember, the baby elephant walk was done at the time of Packy the Elephant here in Portland.
Okay.
And when they used to do the promotions, they'd run that music, and then they'd do the Zoo Key song, which you were supposed to go buy a Zoo Key so you could listen about the history of the animals and all the stuff. It's this really happy little song of, oh, all the animals in the zoo are jumping up and down for you, asking you to be sure to plan a day at the zoo as soon as you can. Storybooks that really talk, you turn on with the key. Tell fascinating things about the animals you see. Oh, storybooks and zoo keys together guide you through. A world of new excitement awaits you at the zoo. And that was an old zoo promotion.
This really is relatable, Thursday. I just realized that. That is correct. You know, sir, the thing is, here's the thing, is that you probably just activated long dormant neurons in so many thousands of brains of Portlanders right now with that.
Listen, if my head is filled with this garbage, other people's heads have to be filled with
this look,
garbage.
And I know that this sounds like a bad morning show bit. But there's a whole lot of things that you can say that activate long dormant memories in the people of Portland's their heads, like this, for example. I know that I'm becoming a hack morning show, but there's all kinds of phrases or things you could say that only resonate inside the Portland mind, even if people have forgotten about it. For example, what about frogs? I like frogs, and a lot of people don't know what I'm saying right there, but there's a whole lot of people right out there that just now said, I like frogs along with me, which is a thing you only know if you grew up in the Northwest in the 1980s.
So, absolutely. Thanks,
right.
Rick.
We have to be done. All right. We have to... What else can I say? What's the most horrifying thing I could say about this?
I think you nailed it with rape ships.
The cancer has spread to your brain. Oh, no, this is a dramatic section. Wait. A tumor the size of a grapefruit inside your head. You'll be dead within a day. You'll have no time to say goodbye to loved ones. All of your life's work is in vain. Sorry. I just wish you'd have been happier at that point. Okay, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show after this. All right, then. It's 503-733-2970. Rick. About George W. Bush, there is a phenomenon known as hula jaw, in which someone who is a more than a casual user of cocaine will grind their teeth almost constantly. Watch his jaw when he's not speaking sometimes. Signed, waiters in Chinese restaurants all want Sarah to be their mummies. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Let's see. We got two Todds here. And then we got two Todds and a Tim. That's a morning show waiting to happen.
Is that like two bouncers and a midget?
Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No,
no.
No, this
no.
is not happening.
I think we have a gaggle of engineers in the building.
Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there, sir. Hey, Jeff?
Things in Portland?
All right. Hold on a second, Jeff. I know this sounds rude, but hold on a second. All right. Todd?
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, that's creepy that the problem is there, and then it's just gone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes, I can. What's up, sir?
Hey, you know, all this is just bringing back all sorts of horrifically bad memories of when I was a country DJ in a tiny little market out in the middle of a swamp. I did an AM/FM simulcast down on the coast. And, oh, dude, no air conditioning, mosquitoes the size of B-17s. It was really not a pleasurable experience. And I giggle every time I even think that Scotty spent money to learn how to do this. But we had cart machines with three of them stacked on top of each other. And you remember the ones that had the big, huge knob right in the center of the front face?
Are we talking about a cart machine?
Yeah.
Tim?
That it would adjust the pitch or the speed of the cart.
I don't think I ever worked at a radio station that had a pitch control on the cart machine, but maybe I was just I was too low budget or something.
These were ancient. I mean, this was like mid-80s. Anyway, we had one of the cart machines that would always miss the cue, you know, so
totally.
You'd go through the commercial, and it would just start going on its own. It would never, ever stop.
Yeah, commercial one would play, then commercial two would start playing, and halfway through commercial two, commercial one would start again in the background.
Exactly. You literally had to punch that big knob on the front of the cart machine in order to get it to stop could reset it.
Seriously, I think we all worked at variations on the same radio station like bad equipment passed around like a doobie at a frat party.
And if anybody would actually spend money to learn how to do radio, they really, really need to seek professional help.
I'm with you, sir.
On top
Thank
of
you.
Thank you. That's weird. They actually paid people money to sing the On Top of Old Smokey jingle right there. There's like eight different carts here that are variations.
Those are expensive. You know, those shelters are expensive. They were like $4,000 or $5,000 a piece
to hire those people in a room to sit there and go ba ba da ba, you know, for whatever.
Yeah.
Which by the way, I don't want anybody to think. I don't want anybody to think that we, of course, were above such things.
K-O-T-K.
All right, let's see.
Those are classics.
They really are. Let's see. We have the.
This is my favorite.
Hot Cops and 80. Hot Cops. KOTK.
It's 5 o'clock.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon. I remember that one.
I was just throwing it to you, see if you could see.
Do you want me to start the actual news? We can do that.
No, actually, that wasn't my intent. About halfway through, though, I decided, I wonder if Tim will just take his news out of this. Well, let's do one more call, and then we'll do this. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
What about the, now, where are you guys going with all that beer?
I'm not sure that I even recognize it. What's that from?
It was, there was a state trooper that would clear people over that were, like, going either into Oregon or into Washington to get some beer.
Right.
I don't know if it was like Olympia or if it was
now,
whatever it was, but there was all these commercials of the cop pulling him over, and he used to say that, well now, where are you guys going with all that beer?
That is a variation on something we had in Washington. In Washington, we used to have this commercial in which it was one of those things where it was like grown-ups trying to talk like they thought the kids talked. And it was a whole lot of, you know, what they were basically trying to do is they were trying to convince kids in, like, my hometown of Kennewick not to go to Moscow, Idaho, where I think the drinking age was 19 at the time. 18? Sarah says knowingly. That's the ring of knowledge in your voice. The ring of truth.
Oh, it changed way before I got there. But that road, it's infamous, 8 miles between Pullman and Moscow, as being one of the deadliest roads during that time.
And they called it the Scow Run. That's
when man's curve.
When I was in high school, you'd hear these kids doing, "What are you doing this weekend?" Scow Run. And the Scow Run was where these kids who were 18 and they were seniors in high school, they would go to Moscow, Idaho, where you could get all loaded up. And then, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go to Scow and get all drunk, and then I'm going to die on the way home. And which did happen. And every year, I swear to God, they should have had Moscow, Idaho pay for this one page in the yearbook every year that was just for all the dead kids. Mm-hmm. They got killed coming back from Idaho.
Or play Last Kiss.
Yeah, for... I choked. I choked right there. Wait, hold on.
The sheets are red and moist where I'm lying. God in heaven, teach me how to die.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, we would have all of these kids in the senior class. Wait, in my senior class, same thing. It's like, you would just assume at the beginning of the year you were going to have like a 10% attrition rate because of Moscow, Idaho. And sure enough. And then you'd have to see the tiresome, the photo, "May you rest in peace in the arms of God." And then like a picture of some idiot basketball player with like bad pre-Photoshop wings attached to his back on page 85 of the high school annual. Right above some Bible quote about not getting all loaded up and driving like a goddamned fool on the way back from Idaho. All right. Stay there, Jeff. Go nowhere. Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi. Do you still care about where you fellas going with all that beer?
Jeff?
Yes. What?
This bit is gold. Yes, Tom.
No, it was for Henry Weinhardt's, and the guys were driving a truck that said Schudwiller on the side, which was obviously a combination of Schlitz, Bud, and Miller. And they were driving up from California to Oregon, and then the Oregon State Trooper was implying that we didn't need their beer here because we had Henry's. And so he'd come up and he'd say, "Where are you fellas going with all that beer?" But they actually gave the State Trooper guy his own TV show for a while. It was like a Merv Griffin type show.
So this wasn't a public service commercial. This was just an ad. It was a beer ad.
It was a beer ad, yeah.
Fantastic. See, the more you know. There you go, Jeff.
Nice.
All right, there you go. See, and knowing is half the battle. You are smarter now than when this program began today. All right,
that's exciting.
Thanks.
We need to bring back Stump the Jock now.
Yes, and the mystery noise as well. Thank you, Tom.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go. That's Tom and Jeff. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, wait, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, everyone. A devastating disease is sweeping through Tasmania's devil population, killing 90% of Tasmanian devil adults in high-density areas, 40 to 50% in medium-low-density areas. The Tasmanian devil cannot be mistaken for any other marsupial. Its spine-chilling screeches, black color, and reputed bad temper led the early European settlers to call it the devil.
Should we hear that spine-chilling thing now?
Yes, please.
All right, this is the sound of the Tasmanian devil. I swear to God, this is what it sounds like. Tim found this actual the sound for us. Ladies and gentlemen, I give ye the Tasmanian devil. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear that one more time.
The devil feeds on whatever is possible.
I'm sorry?
Powerful jaws and teeth enable it to completely devour its prey, bones and all.
I like anything that's bones and all. No, you're right, Scotty. It's not exactly as the Looney Tunes portrayed it. These things always fall apart upon closer inspection.
All right.
No, look at that. That thing will kill you. That's the face of evil. I'm not saving the Tasmanian
Kids,
devil.
Kids, if you drive to Moscow, Idaho tonight on that beer run, this is what you will encounter.
That's an evil creature. I'm not saving it at all.
That's why it's called a Tasmanian devil.
That's what I'm saying. Why would you save anything that is called a devil of any kind? No.
It's part of their heritage.
Screw.
Well, if you're in Tasmania, what else do you have to look up to?
What else do ye have to be proud of?
They weigh up to 12 kilograms. There we go with those metrics again.
That's 100 clicks. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, God. People are just sending me... Really? Okay.
Well, we'll read this later.
Here's Tim Riley.
The Bloomfield, New Mexico City Council has unanimously adopted new zoning regulations prohibited pot-bellied pigs within city limits. The community has long banned swine, but pot-bellied pigs were not specifically defined as part of that brown species. A city official said there are health concerns with any livestock in enclosed spaces, and that should include pot-bellied pigs.
Cartman is a pot-bellied pig. That's the extent of my knowledge of pot-bellied pigs.
Time for Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show, that's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Cinema-goers enthralled by Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy and desperate to see his proposed adaptation of The Hobbit might be set for a long wait indeed. For today, it emerged that the high-profile director has been officially cast into Middle-earth by film studio New Line. The move by Bob Shane, the New Line co-chairman, is the latest stage in an extraordinary, bitter legal dispute between Mr. Jackson and New Line over money from the... $4 billion Lord of the Rings franchise.
Why would you possibly want to piss that guy off? What do you have to gain? I swear to God, this is just like that story we had earlier in the week about the guys over at the Kissin, which just, we can't figure out a way to lose, to stop losing money at the station. So rather than getting rid of the management that got us into this problem, we're going to take it out on the air staff and the people who were just there trying to do a good job, trying to deliver a product under substandard conditions. That's what this is.
Including a lady boss with no radio experience.
Having love good. The thing about this, and this is the same thing, but Peter Jackson shows up and makes the most successful trilogy in movie history, certainly artistically speaking, and it made $5 jillion or something, and now because he questions, and I mean, God forbid one should imply that studios ever cook the books or engage in deceptive accounting practices. Tim knows more about that than I do, but God forbid one imply that Hollywood studios should ever jigger around the finances so that they're going to shaft the artists out of what they are rightfully entitled to. See, Peter Jackson, by the way, all he did was ask that they have an independent auditor come in and examine the books for the Lord of the Rings series just to see if everybody had been paid properly. And so New London, I am never making a film with Peter Jackson again. And so, he's like persona non grata. All he did was ask for them to come in and have somebody look and see if he got paid what he was supposed to get paid.
Well, if you happen to live near the California cities of Universal Cities, Sunnyvale, Anaheim, or Fountain Valley, and you're an avid World of Warcraft enthusiast, you'll be interested in plans to hold midnight sales of the new Burning Crusade expansion pack at retail stores in these cities. World of Warcraft, also referred to as WoW, is a popular, massively multiplayer online role-playing game, which is also called an MMORPG, in which you assume the role of heroes in various races depicted in Blizzard's long-popular Warcraft game series. Released simultaneously for the Mac and PC, WoW has garnered millions of players since its release in 2004 and is particularly popular with Macintosh gamers. The Burning Crusade adds additional content to the game, including a new continent that players with high-level characters can explore, new races, new professions, new quests, new magical items, new monsters, and much more.
Do you understand anything that you are reading?
Absolutely not, but I'm done with it.
Bang.
Into the barrel it goes.
I made it. There we go.
King. Raptor's hammer. By the sons of Warvan.
Excellent.
I shall avenge you.
Next.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Because that's my function. Excellent. Hey, here's an email from one of the engineers. Rick, another present for you that Lacey just found. Lacey, who's the public affairs director. A short rotating cart rack. Holds 100 carts. And he says, yes, you can have it in your new studio if you beg. Rick Emerson is begging right
now. Grovel.
Rick Emerson is pleading right now for that. Speaking of which, what is this? Let's see what this, let's see what this cart is.
If you successfully managed to avoid Billy and the Bean this morning on Couple, here's what you missed.
Who's Billy and the Bean?
Is that a joke or is that an actual program? Well, okay.
This is radio. Of course it's an actual program.
Not to get too heavy with you or anything, but somehow the topic of sexual harassment or harassment came up. And what does constitute sexual harassment? Mm-hmm. It is a tough question. It's a little vague. And on the phone with a listener now. And you have a comment on that? Go ahead.
Okay. If a man talks dirty to a woman, they call it sexual harassment.
Oh, God. I sense a terrible, terrible listener joke coming up. I sense a terrible, awful joke by a listener who thinks she's hilarious coming up, after which the DJs will laugh uproariously.
And a shotgun jingle. And then something upbeat.
Yes.
No talk, please.
Exactly. God damn, we're good at this. And when I say good at this...
I've been the victim of many a consultant.
No, I'm not saying... When I say good at this, I mean... mindlessly regurgitating and recycling all of the formulaic crap that has ever been shoved into our heads by a bunch of ill-educated, talentless radio consultants. All right, well, let's see.
If a woman talks dirty to a man, they call it $3.95 per minute.
Oh!
Billy and the Bean, morning. On continuous Hot Country, 98.5 KUPL.
Yes!
Billy and the Bean?
Oh, my God! Hmm. Oh, Sarah, can you pull up the couple music library?
I wonder if they're still together, wherever they are.
No.
They went single, I'm just the Bean without the Billy. Maybe it's Billy and the Goat.
Man, can you pull up something up-tempo from the couple music library? Just something that, something that starts...
Oh, we're able to tap into their computers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
No, we can
I can play something called A Little Good News.
No.
Anne-Marie?
Oh, no. I don't know.
Is that's that Anne-Marie?
Yeah. That bitch Anne-Marie, too.
I want to go to a country fair and that type of deal.
Wait, hold on. I sure could use a little good news.
It's Canadian blandness at its best.
Seriously, do you know the song A Little Good News by Anne Murray?
No, that's I saw the word good.
It's way
and I think
before you were born.
Oh, no. Can you pull it back in there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, it's not the worst thing ever. It's not Dan Seals bad. And that bitch Anne Murray, too. My mom loves Anne Murray. Loves her. I've gotten my way out of so many holidays by buying my mom an Anne Murray album.
Stuff she's about to sing.
I rolled out this morning, kids had the morning news show on.
Oh, this is so bad.
Brian Campbell was talking about the fighting in Lebanon.
I didn't remember being
some
bad.
Some senator was squawking about the bad economy.
It's kind of a lazy Jay Dalton thing going on.
Don't get worse to see. Need a change of
Moon in June.
There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story's one more than I can stand.
Have another cigarette, Ann.
Just once, how I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today.
Yeah, nothing bad to say. Hey, oh!
Nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody
terrible.
Nobody
burned a single building down.
It's country.
Nobody was assassinated.
Nobody had to die in vain.
Wait for it.
Sure could use a little good news today.
Oh, we're retarded. All right, you have to stop that. Oh, man, that was a gold. I had to play that song, like, every hour. Okay, we got to
segue into... I can't find anything upbeat.
Can you segue into Lady by Kenny Rogers after that?
Can we segue into Lady after everything, please? Can every element on the show segue into Lady by Kenny Rogers? I'm going to walk over here now. We got to find something upbeat, because I got to try this. I got to play this bad promo back again. Lady... John Conley, are you effing me?
Oh, no.
Let's see. Kalijah, and it's by Charlie Pride. It's the Charlie Pride version of Kalijah. Clint Black, that's kind of upbeat. Let's see, this is the Mickey Gilley. Oh, no, it's Lonely Nights, though. Yeah. This is the longest way to get to, like, a 30-second bit. Love is Alive, Love of My Life. No. Lovesick Blues. I can't, there's nothing up-tempo. What is this, like, the all dead songs category? Hold on a second. Lookinbach, Texas.
That's kind of medium.
Love Without End. I'm looking for like one of those hideous new, like one of those honky badonka gonk songs or that whatever that Alan Jackson did.
This is all elevator like music-ish.
Yeah.
I have to be there.
I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton.
That's depressing.
Yeah, no, it's depressing. See, there's nothing up-tempo here. It's like we're looking in like the...
Yeah, it's
we must be looking at like some old
This is all the gold. We're looking at the gold. Hurt by Johnny Cash. Why is that in there? Let's not play that after the shotgun jingle. Are these alphabetical by what? Title? Can you make them alphabetical by artist?
Okay. Sure, we'll wait.
What are you looking for?
Something up tempo. I'll come out of a shotgun jingle.
Very close to me.
Wait, no. There we go. Okay. Guitars and Cadillacs.
Okay.
Oh, okay, that'll work.
It's not bad. It's actually a good song, but it'll still work.
Yeah, I think that's the best it could.
The best part is how Tim knew exactly the answer when you said, "What are you looking for?" And Tim said, "Something up tempo to come out of a shotgun jingle." Which is, boy, we have just been.
I've been brainwashed.
All right, so Sarah, yes. I will cue you. This is how this is supposed to sound on the air.
Make it tight.
It's an opening.
Will do.
This is a recycler promo. It's an opening where they, and we do a variation of this, of course. We do the Let's Glitzen. If you haven't heard Tom Likas, you haven't heard this. I mean, it's not like we're somehow above this.
No.
We're kind of.
We're part of it.
We're part of the machine. We rebel against the system even as we embrace it and are paid by it. We're bringing down the system from within. We're in the belly of the beast here. So the opener where they read, if you haven't heard Hack and the Giggler this morning, you didn't hear this. And then they have the bad caller, the caller who thinks that she is part of the show and thinks that she is hilarious. She is not. The caller who just calls up to make the make that kind of a comment. And fortunately, the callers that we have are actually like you get your George in Wilsonville, who's a variation on this type. He's kind of funny though. This woman, not funny, thinks she's hilarious. So the opener, bad setup, terrible joke by the caller. I don't know if they giggle or not. They probably giggle a little bit. Bam, shotgun ID, and then into something upbeat. And here's how it all sounds put together, kids.
If you successfully managed to avoid Billy and the Bean this morning on Couple, here's what you missed.
Not to get too heavy with you or anything, but somehow the topic of sexual harassment or harassment came up. And what does constitute sexual harassment? It is a tough question. It's a little vague. And on the phone
it's
with
vague.
Alicia now. And you have a comment on that? Go ahead.
Okay. If a man talks dirty to a woman, they call it sexual harassment.
Yeah.
If a woman talks dirty to a man, they call it $3.95 per minute.
Billy and the Bean, morning on continuous Hot Country, 98.5 KUPL.
Come on, that's excellent. That was a tight board. Fantastic.
Girl, you taught me.
This is a great song. I love this song. Should we just take this to break?
Yeah.
We'll come back with more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, ladies and gents. Coming up later on, top five, the suburban perspective, Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7. We're back after this. It's a Rick Emerson Radio program. Little Dwight, y'all come on your Thursday. You stay right there. Dang 970.